Welcome to Author Voices on Air and the stories behind the stories of today's literature and their authors. A presentation of Author Solutions and its publishers. Our host today connects with the writer to share the vision and inspiration behind their works. Insightful, informative, and always entertaining. Please welcome our host for this week's edition of Author Voices on Air.
Welcome to Author Voices on Air, and I'm your host, Rick Bell. Our next book is The Human Mind, a psychological view of theological concepts. In this book, the author compares and contrasts the scientific understanding of the human mind with the teaching of the Bible. In some cases, these two perspectives are very similar, such as in various aspects of child development. However, where positive psychology claims that the power to induce change lies within the individual, the Bible teaches that we can do nothing apart from Christ. Joining me now to give us an insight into the book is the author, Dr. Eric J. Kolb. Hello, Eric, and thank you for joining me.
Oh, hello, and thank you for having me.
Now, I should mention to our listeners that this book we're talking about just now is actually one in a series of books, and we will touch on the other books later on in the interview. But to start us off on the topic of this book, how did you come up with the idea for the book? What was your catalyst? What was your inspiration? And how did that then evolve into the book that we're talking about today?
Well, I am both a Christian believing in God, creator of heaven and earth, but I'm also a scientist and have studied chemistry, mathematics, psychology. And many people would say that there's a conflict, that science and religion conflict, but they really don't. And so what I wanted to do is I wanted to take theological concepts and examine them from a psychological, scientific, psychological perspective, and also concepts also from psychology, and see what the Bible says about these. And there are many, many places where it comes together and agree. Of course, there are also places where it parts. And that's what my books are about. And that was my goal, to not just give a testimony of what I think and believe God is, but from a scientific perspective, say, okay, what's there? What can we know? How does this correspond to the Bible? How does this correspond to the findings in scientific psychology?
Now, that brings me to a very important question. I know the listeners want me to ask. You mentioned there that you're a Christian, but you're also a scientist. So how did you yourself, within your own mind, how did you find a balance between the two?
Oh, well, it's not so difficult at all. You know, and science and Christian theology are actually coming closer and closer together over time. Science used to believe that the world, the universe, had always existed, that it never had a beginning, and now we know it did have a beginning. A lot of people look at the 6 days of creation and say, well, this is crazy, but if you look at the scripture day by day, if a planet, or when a planet like Earth, a young planet, were to bring forth life, what would have to happen on that planet is described in the exact order in which it would have to happen in the 6 days. The sunlight would have to come through. The plants would have to grow. This would bring life to aquatic creatures and then land creatures, exactly as it's described in the Bible.
Now, would you agree that, based on what you've just said, would you agree that much of what is said in the Bible is open to interpretation, like you were talking about 6 days, and that would you agree that it doesn't literally need to mean 6 days, but just an interpretation?
Well, things like that, you know, this is how I like to field that question. I talk with people. It's a matter of, does the Bible say what it means, or does it mean what it says? Okay? Now, if you take the 6 days creation as literal six 24-hour days, yeah, if God can create a world, you know, if he is real and there, yeah, it doesn't matter how long he has. Or are the 6 days a period of time, you know, that could be long? It doesn't really make a difference, you know. When it boils down to it, you know, from a theological, Christian theological standpoint, the only question that needs to be answered, did Jesus Christ die on the cross for our sins? Yes or no? If he did, then yes, then all the other things, it's just details. You know, my book is not, my books are not about really evangelically preaching the gospel. I'm not a preacher, I'm a teacher.
That's a very valid point. Now, talking about the writing the book, you must have had a particular reader in mind when you're writing this book, when you were researching the book. Who would you say that you wrote this book for, and why?
Yes, I should have. I didn't. And that was a bit of a problem. You know, the whole project started really out of, I felt a calling from God, write a book. I didn't know what to write about exactly, and I didn't know who to write to and what kind of, there's so many things I'm interested in, and psychology and theology is such a big field that everything fits in there. I started this way. I made a list of different concepts in theology and psychology and theology, and wrote an essay a week for a year, a five-page essay. So after a year, I had 52 five-page essays on different topics, and that became the first book. And during that process, I realized, oh, the key thing is the humans are made out of heart, body, mind, and soul. Our physical flesh, our emotional processes, our mental mind, which is the topic of this book, and our soul. And this is what I then really poured into, and then decided on the audience of people who want to learn about God and theology and psychology from a scientific perspective. That means everything I write, I have a reference list that's not my opinion. All my statements come from other experts that I've collected and read and put together, and wrote it in the same style of my doctoral dissertation at this academic level, because I wanted to stand up against the scrutiny of scientific study.
Now, this is a wonderfully interesting and a book, but one thing I found even more interesting than the book itself is that your very varied and wonderful career that has led you up to being the author you are today. You've really done a bit of everything. Tell us about your career, or your careers, plural.
Yeah, well, my father was a professional athlete. He played football for the Pittsburgh Steelers and won 4 Super Bowls. So since I was born, I was actually being trained for the Olympics. Wrestling was my sport. So wrestling and sport, that was supposed to be, I thought that's why God created me to be a Olympic wrestler. But then I got muscular dystrophy, and I didn't know it then. I couldn't do that anymore. So I became an academic. I didn't have sports to get into college. I had to get in with my brain. And so I started studying and realized, whoa, I can learn. I'm pretty good at this. And I got a degree in mathematics from Ohio University. And then I wanted to after graduating college, I wanted to take just a summer break in Europe to work as a street performer. Juggling and street performing and acrobatics and circus arts was a hobby of mine. So I came to Germany to do that for a summer. And one thing led to the next, and I became a professional. I was making more as a street performer as I would as beginning math teacher in the United States. So I stayed, and one thing led to the next. I got an agent and became more and more successful, up until the point where I owned my own theater. But the muscular dystrophy caught up with me. I couldn't stand on the stage anymore that long. And so I became a clinic clown. That way, you know, if I needed to sit down on the floor, I could sit down on the floor. If I needed to be in a wheelchair and be pushed, I could do that. And if I walked funny, it didn't matter. It just came into my clown character. And I realized, hey, humor is really the best medicine. But if it's the best medicine, then it should be treated as medicine, studied and researched and diagnosed and treated that way. So I started to study psychology and got my master's in counseling clinical psychology, with humor being the red line through all my personal works and studies, because I was going to hospitals seeing sick children, and I myself was very ill and knew my muscles are going to get worse and worse until I can't walk anymore. Eventually that did happen, but I knew it was coming. I was done with my degree. I became then a psychotherapist here in Germany, specializing in child development and behavior and emotional processes. Well, actually, emotional processes came later, after I couldn't even have the strength to keep up with kids, working with ADHD kids. You need a little bit of energy yourself, and I just couldn't keep up with the kids anymore. So I went back to school, got my PhD, this time on the topics of emotional processing.
And that has certainly been a very, very varied and fulfilling career. And it is sad that you've had to give up much of what you love due to illness and disability. But how would you feel that that has influenced the writing of this book and the series of books?
Well, really, it's not sad at all. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that is very, very important to me, we are thankful also for our suffering, because suffering brings patience, patience brings character, and character brings hope, and hope is not lost. Well, that's very important. So I've become, all these different steps through my time as a sportler, an athlete, that's why I learned what it means to just work your butt off, okay? Get it done and do it. You know, this attitude, just pounding your head through a wall if you have to. I've done that. I can do that.
Absolutely.
Then later with the acrobatics, balance in life, if you're worried about things going on in your life, you should not be on a high wire.
Oh, certainly very true.
Right? So I learned that from there. And working as a professional juggler, jugglers have the most difficult job because they fight against gravity itself. They lose always, you know? And each of these steps made me to the person I am today. And I was never supposed to be an athlete or a comedian or an actor or a psychotherapist. And I, you know, it's not just one thing. It's the development, you know, and this is also, you know, how all the religions kind of tie together. The saying out of Buddhism, the way is the goal, the path is the goal. And that's also true for Christianity. It's not who we are, it's who we're becoming that's very important.
That's very true. Now, you talked about everything you've been through, both positive and, you know, some of them challenges. Now, let's equate that. Let's put that to the experience of writing this book or writing the series of books, and we'll talk about the other books in a moment. Tell us about some of the challenges that you face when you sat down to write, for example, this book. And on the flip side of that, what you find or what you found to be the most rewarding?
Oh, the challenge, well, you know, physically, because I'm physically disabled through the muscular dystrophy. You know, sometimes I haven't been able to type, and just getting at it, you know, if I were to just say, oh, I can't do anything, just let me sit in my wheelchair and eat pudding, no one would say, oh, he's a slacker because, you know, I'm physically disabled. But also because of that, I have to, no one really pushes me, encourages me to continue developing my character and becoming the person that God created me to be. You know, I could just sit down and say, okay, I've done enough now and leave it at that. So that's the hard, you know, the real challenge is to just keep hacking at it. I sit down and I try, make sure I at least write, you know, a word a day, even if it's just putting a period at the end of one sentence that I forgot or something, just keep knocking at it. And the reward is, of course, when you do that with persistency and consistency. So far in 3 years, I've written 3 books, and my goal is to write 5 books in 5 years. And I'm still on track to do that, which is quite a challenge.
It certainly is. And talking about the other books, you mentioned, and that's wonderful news that you mentioned, that it's going to be 5 books. But tell us a little about the other books in the series that you've written so far.
Okay, well, the first book, it was the introduction book. That came about from these 52 essays that I wrote. And when I wrote that, I came across the topic, the second chapter of that book was on the heart, body, mind, and soul, all in one chapter. And I realized, whoa, this is way too much information to be just in one chapter. So it was at that point where I realized, okay, this is going to be a series. And so what we're talking about today is the human mind. I wrote that book next because it interests me the most out of the heart, body, mind, and soul. I did my dissertation on emotional processes, so I didn't want to write about emotion anymore. But the mind is just such a mystery for us. And today in our lives, we are discovering things about consciousness and the human mind that we just did not know before. And still there are questions that we can't really answer at all, like the dualism. The brain is physical. The mind is not physical. But if the brain and body are physical, our matter, the atoms in our body are replaced, I can't remember, I think about every 10 years, don't quote, it's in the book. But every 10 years we have new material in our body. Our body changes, but the mind is still persistent. You know, when we look at ourselves, a picture of ourselves six years old, we could say, oh, that's me in the picture. But the person in the picture, the six-year-old, has a completely different body. The mind is different. The emotional processes are different. But there's still a continuality. And that's what we call the soul, the topic of the next book coming out. Then I'm the heart and the mind is very, very closely related. We know a lot about that. That's essentially the limbic system. We have our brain that controls our bodily processes and stuff like that. But the limbic system is like a dual engine program there that can take over anytime it wants. When we become emotional, that kicks in and we behave differently in an emotional episode. We know a lot about how that works. So that was the next book. And the last book that I'm going to be writing about is then the body. There's so much emphasis on the body, and I think there's too much emphasis. You know, we're so concerned about our bodies and our health. The Christians as well as non-Christians, you know, people go to the fitness studio, they spend so much time taking care of their bodies, but guess what? No matter what you're going to do, you're going to die anyway. And even if you experience miraculous healing from God, you're still going to die eventually after that, you know? Like Lazarus, Jesus brought him back from the dead, but you know what happened to him later? He died.
Absolutely. Now, we've talked about these books. The one thing, obviously, our listeners want to know is if you can remind us of the title of each book so that our listeners can look out for those.
Oh, very easily. The heart, body, the human heart, the human body, the human mind, the human soul. They're very simple titles, and each of them have the same subtitle. I have to look at it real quick. A psychological view of theological concepts. And this, by the way, comes from Jesus's verse when we're asked, what's the most important commandment to follow? Jesus said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your body, with all your mind, and with all your soul.
Wonderful. Now, we've covered a lot about the book, and we've touched on the other two books in the series, and we mentioned that you have another two books to come. But is there anything that we haven't mentioned during the interview that you feel is important for our listeners and, of course, your readers to know about this book?
Well, The Human Mind, it's a textbook, really. You know, like I said, I'm not preachy. I'm not trying to convince people to give their lives to Jesus. I think they should. But what I'm trying to do is to teach. I teach about how the mind works, how it develops, and a lot of interesting concepts related with the human mind, like the theory of mind. What that is that's the moment when a child around the age of six realizes, oh, I have my own mind. Before that, a child will not really understand that what he wants and thinks is different than what other people want and thinks. And there's different kinds of tests about that. For example, a child who has not yet developed a theory of mind, if he has a plate of candy and a plate of broccoli in front of him, and someone asks for a piece of broccoli and eats it and makes a face like it's very, very delicious, the child can't understand that because it wants the candy. How could someone want the broccoli over the candy? That's inconceivable for them.
Absolutely.
Or when they play a game and get upset that they lost and throw a fit, that happens because they don't realize, you know, the child wants to win the game. The purpose of him playing is to win the game. So everyone should have that same purpose, that this child should win the game. And if that doesn't happen, the world falls apart. Only later do we come to realize, oh, I want things. I have ideas. I have thoughts. But these are different than other people's, and only mine are mine. And it's a really interesting event, because when we test for theory of mind in children, it's not like a aptitude test where you get a score somewhere in the middle. A child will either have a theory of mind or he will not. There's no in between. It just suddenly clicks. And I talk a lot about it. I also explain how you can test your child if the theory of mind is already developed in a cute little way. It's non-invasive and not harmful or anything, just interesting. And particularly identity is so important, how identity develops. So this would also be good for parents of teenagers or parents of children of any age. But I was just happen to think of identity. That's particularly important for the parents to understand in the teenage years. So there's just lots of interesting things to learn about.
Oh, thank you for that. The Human Mind, a Psychological View of Theological Concepts, is published by Author House and is also available direct from the publisher at authorhouse.com, bookstore, and of course all good bookstockers. Well, I would just like to thank my guest today, the author, Dr. Eric J. Kolb, for joining me and for sharing everything about not only this book, but the other books in the series. Many thanks.
Thank you for having me.
This is Rick Bell for Targeted Radio 2.0. Thank you for listening.
Join us again as we explore the passion and inspiration behind the works of today's authors right here on Author Voices on Air.